following us online tonight due to the COVID. And like to, before we get started, to wish everybody a happy holiday coming up here. Merry Christmas on Thursday, and then a very happy and healthy new year coming up on January the 1st. At this time, I'm going to call the meeting to order, and Paul Irvin will lead us in a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance.
And since we're in a Zoom meeting, if you have your pants on, please stand and join me for a moment of silence, and then we'll do the pledge. Thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. All right, we all have the agenda before us. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Wenzel, I have a modification. Under action items, we met as a board in executive session right before this, and we discussed additional staffing at the elementary level. So I'd like board approval for two additional teachers at the elementary level and two paras for the 2021 school year.
And before we get into the motion, that reminds me, I guess I ought to officially say it. We had an executive session before the meeting for personnel and student-related issues. Thank you, Nadine, for reminding me in a way. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
And properly moved to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have a student of the month presentation tonight?
Yes, we do. We have six learners who are being shown this evening at the secondary level. At the high school, there are four learners who show the character trait of respect, and two middle school learners that show the character trait of leadership. So I'd first like to talk about the grade 12 student of the month. Rowan Robbins is a 12th grader, and during her time at Garden Spot High School, Arwen has taken several honors courses and held an honor roll status since middle school. She is a member of the marching band, band front, and tennis team. Our 11th grade learner of the month is Layla Hamzik. She is enrolled in several AP courses and also participates in our internship program, in which she works part-time at a local physical therapy office. Layla is also a member of the marching band, as well as a Garden Spot High School cheerleader. Our 10th grade learner of the month is Sarah Babb. She has taken several honors courses over the past 2 years at the high school, and she has received honor roll status since the beginning of middle school. She is active in marching band, band front, and ensemble. And our final student of the month for respect is Kira Steiner. She's a 9th grader and is enrolled in several honors courses and has received honor roll status since the beginning of middle school. She also played soccer this past fall. Our two middle school learners of the month have shown great leadership characteristics. The 8th grade learner of the month is Milani Lai, and she received distinguished honor roll during her 7th grade year, as well as the first quarter of this year. And she is a participant in the Garden Spot lacrosse program. And our final learner of the month is Evan Brace. He is a 7th grader who received distinguished honors for quarter one, and he is a member of the band and participated in cross country. So I'd like to congratulate these learners, and we will be meeting with them individually to provide them with the certificates that we usually hand out at the board meetings.
Okay, thank you, Nadine. I guess we could still give them a round of applause, even if it is on, Zoom. All right, citizen comments. Justin, do we have any?
Yes, Mr. President, we have two comments that were submitted. And just before before we proceed, if when we make motions and second, could you say your name before you make that motion or you second so that I can record it? I can't see everyone's face, so I'd appreciate that. And then Dr. Larkin, if you could confirm the wording of your motion for me, so that I can add that to the agenda as well. I appreciate that. So, Mr. President, we have two comments. The first was submitted by Joshua Good, who lives at 1804 Bowmansville Road, Moncton, PA, 19540. I would love the opportunity to pray for you, the members of the board. I am so thankful for all that God is doing through you and in our school district, especially during this season of chaos, uncertainty, and fear. Lord God, thank you that you continue to guide and direct us. Thank you that you are an ever-present source of hope and comfort when life feels out of control. Thank you for each and every student in the Elanco School District. Thank you especially for the governance and the oversight of the board. I know they carry a weighty responsibility as they make decisions that impact so many young lives. I pray that you will give them the extra grace, guidance, and discernment as they navigate the uncharted waters of educating through a global pandemic. I pray for peace and health for each of them individually and with their families. We pray these things, especially during this Christmas season, where we remember the birth of your son, Jesus. In his name I pray, amen. The second comment is from Jeremy Weaver at 720 Walnut Street, New Holland, PA, 17557. Thank you to the board and administration for the time and effort in navigating COVID regulations. I appreciate the way that you all have worked hard to keep school in person, especially at the elementary level. Thank you for at times questioning the regulations when they seem unreasonable or overbearing and always putting our kids first. Please continue.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Is that all of them?
That is all.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Paul Irvin, so moved.
Do I have a second?
Brian Aranjo, second.
It's been properly moved and seconded on the consent agenda. Any further discussion on the
just a quick question on that. If regarding the item D under management, Dr. Hollister, I didn't know if we need to change that and had a question or two about the attestation and things like that, or you'll go through that again anyway in a management section later.
No, which section? I have, hang on, section D.
It was under management last time. It was regarding the attestation form, but knowing with some of the other things that maybe you would be bringing up later in your section tonight, it may be covered anyway and discussion would be had, but otherwise that would be the only thing that I was going to kind of ask. It was information item update on district's COVID response plan. So knowing that it was COVID, I thought, well, you'd probably have an update anyway. I just want to make sure that there may be a time for that.
We can do that during my report. I don't have any specific updates for our attestation or COVID at this time, but we can certainly talk about it. I was going to open the door for COVID discussion during my
okay. That's what I figured. All right, then I'm good.
All right. Any other further questions? All right. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to action items. Do I have a motion for approval of the 2021 school year calendar?
So moved by Brian Conroy.
If I could just interrupt, I am going to request a slight change to this based on some feedback that I got from our elementary music teachers. If you recall, board, you're voting to add some early dismissal days. I had heard from our elementary instrumental teachers that those Wednesdays are when they have practice. So I'm going to shift two of the four that I'm asking for to a Tuesday. So the amendment to this calendar would be January 27th to January 26th would be the early dismissal. And then again in February, we would go from February 24th to February 23rd. Again, so we can try and accommodate our elementary musicians. So we're still asking for the four early dismissals. We just shifted two of the dates for those.
Is there a reason in particular we don't do Fridays?
No reason in particular, no.
I mean, it just seems like, you know, especially moving it to Tuesday now, you're like back for a day, then a half day. Like, you can just make a longer weekend. I mean, it seems to make more sense to me. Easier for parents and everything else. But
I'm not opposed to that. If you guys want to make that change, we can do that as well.
From a personal standpoint, I would appreciate that. I know one of our sons has speech therapy, and that's on Wednesday, so he's missed quite a few because they seem to fall on a lot of the half days on Wednesdays. So, and he's not the only one that's in that kind of a situation on Wednesdays.
I would agree. I mean, not for the same reason, but to me, it seems like Fridays just seem
sure,
like...
That makes sense to make a longer weekend and everything, too.
Exactly.
So, okay,
that's like
so...
That's like a consistency of four full days together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, do you want to move them all four or two of the four to a Friday?
I would push for moving them all to Friday simply for consistency's sake and ease of communication, but I would also trust you that if there's a reason not to do that, I would support it probably, but.
Is there something that kids would be missing on a Friday afternoon four times? Like, I'm wondering, like Wednesday's band, is there something Fridays?
Not that I know of specifically, but I will tell you, so I'm making these adjustments on the fly. The January, we're already a half day on that Friday. So the January 13th Wednesday, we would keep. Then I would make it January 29th. That is a Friday. And then in February, we have... we have a dismissal already in place for the 4th. So we could move, now I'm thinking too fast on, it would be two early dismissals in a row, but we could do the Wednesday, the 10th, February 10th, and then move the last one in February to the 26th. So we would essentially be moving two of those days to Friday. We would keep the 13th that we have on the calendar because it's in line with some other early dismissals. And then we would have one February 10th, which would also be in line with an early dismissal. So we would have, and that's leading into President's Day weekend. That's why we have those. So let me review that again. It would be January 13th in front of some other early dismissals for the high school. January 29th, which is a Friday. February 10th, which is a day before a district-wide early dismissal, and then President's Day weekend, and February 26th, which is a Friday.
All right.
So if you want to, we sort of had a motion on the floor.
We never got that far. We never got that far.
I cut you off. Okay, good.
All right, do I have a motion to approve the new schedule that we have that Bob has come up with?
Gary Buck, I make a motion to approve it.
Do I have a second?
I'll second, Dina.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Now we have Nadine. Do you have the official motion that came out that we for the personnel?
Yes, I have approved the hiring of two teachers at the elementary level and two paraprofessionals for the rest of the 2021 school year.
Justin, are you clear on that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve that, what Nadine has put forward?
Paul Irvin, so moved.
Do Do I have a second?
Brian Brownhill, second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, that's all for action items, I believe. Moving on to the reports, Keith, the Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau. We
have a meeting this month. Our next meeting is January 13th, which will be the Bureau's reorganization meeting.
All right, thank you, Keith. Paul, Lancaster London IU.
Good evening. The IU met December 9th, 2020 via Zoom. We had a meeting highlight from Trout, Ebersole, and Groff provided an audit report noting that the IU 13 is in sound financial condition and has a strong system of internal controls, which made the board and the administrators very happy. We approved $4.8 million of bill payments. Business services approved 7 new or additions to existing contracts. Early childhood and special education services approved 2 new contracts. Instructional services and technology services approved 7 new or additions to existing contracts. The HR services, human resource services, approved 2 new contracts. And under the human resources, we approved 8 employee resignations, 3 terminations, 1 retirement, 18 new hires, 21 changes of positions or salary, and approved 13 leave of absences. And if anyone has any questions, I will answer them now or get back to you with an answer.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Any questions for Paul? Okay, hearing none, moving on to the Lancaster CTC, Dana.
All right, the CTC, the JOC, we met last week for our reorganization meeting. Not a lot really changed with that. Actually, the CTC is still operating on a hybrid schedule through Christmas break, and they're hoping to go back full time, 5-day in person come January 4th. Other than that, there really wasn't much going on. Millard Epic from Warwick is elected president again. So things are just continuing on.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for her? All right, thank you. Hearing none. Legislative, not a whole lot going on up in Harrisburg. However, I think it's Monday or Tuesday in the first week in January, the state legislature will be sworn in. The legislators and the senators will be sworn in. Committee assignments be official by then. So by the end of the next meeting, official report I have at the end of January, I'll be able to give more updates and what legislation is going on up in Harrisburg. Any questions for the legislative? Okay, hearing none. Moving on to the superintendent's report, Dr. Hollister.
Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize if I'm still squealing. I'm trying to make those corrections here. I have a couple of items, but not many. Just a follow-up from the athletic director's report last meeting. Since that meeting, he shared with me that at the LL League athletic director's meeting, Garden Spot was voted as the overall winner for the 2020 LL League Fall Sportsmanship Award. This is just says great things about our coaches and our student athletes. Both high school girls soccer, high school boys cross country, and golf were all chosen as section sportsmanship winners, and high school football finished as top second in their section. So overall, to be chosen as the sportsmanship league winner is really meaningful. So congratulations to everyone, all the players, coaches, and Mr. Schaefer. Just a couple other things happening. We are still trying to in the COVID world produce some our typical winter holiday concerts. Music is pre-recording those and is preparing to put together a YouTube. Because of COVID and some of the quarantines, it does not look like that will be completed before the actual holiday break, but they will have that available for everyone hopefully shortly after the holiday break. Both the choral and the band concert will take place. Again, they're currently recording that now. Also related to COVID, the town hall that we had scheduled for the day that it snowed has been rescheduled for tomorrow afternoon. We're gonna do it a little bit differently. I will be live with anyone who's interested at 3:45, but it will also be recorded so that anyone can check back and see what the contents of that town hall was. The association has collected questions and there'll be an interactive type of sort of interview with me regarding our status of COVID, how decisions are made, et cetera. So that's the extent of our COVID conversation. Other than we do have one other piece that I need clarification on from the board. As you recall, the board took action last meeting to not require, they said the board defeated the motion about not requiring athletes to wear masks. But my head went to a different place after that meeting. It dawned on me that I think if I'm interpreting correctly, if for some reason the LL League would change its position on mask or PIAA would change its position on mask for basketball or wrestlers, I think I would not be able to do that without board action the way I am interpreting this. So I just want to make sure it's clear with the board that if in fact the LL League or the PIAA would change the mandates for masks for wrestlers or basketball players, that I would have the authority to act on that immediately and that we would not need to wait for a board meeting. The board motion was sort of, it's tricky. If I read the exact board motion, and I'll read it for you, Eastern Lancaster County School District not to require athletes to wear masks when playing active live sports. I still think it leaves it open for me to make that adjustment, but I want to make sure that's okay with the board. And again, I'm not speculating. I haven't heard anything, but if something would change, I'd want the ability to make that change without having to wait for a board meeting. So as long as everyone's okay with that, we don't need to do anything, but I didn't want to act out of turn either if in fact the board was saying they absolutely wanted masks. What I heard the board, based on the nature of the conversation, was we wanted masks if it's what was required so that our teams could have competitors and that we would be sort of playing along with the other schools. So if that's the extent of the board's intention, then we're good. If the board really does want to hold to that mask requirement, then we should in fact put a motion in the affirmative to do that. If there's no motion, we're good. But I want to make sure we all understand it the same way.
Well, that's the way I understood it, that we had, to be flexible to if the rules are loosened up, that we can, that the athletes would be able to get rid of wearing the mask during practice and competition.
Okay.
Well, can I... Who is stating that they need to wear them right now? Both PIAA and the LL League, or just one of them?
Well, it's actually the governor who's saying it. And so the LL League has, based on, as we've had this conversation last time, most of the physicians who work for the different school districts are recommending the masks. So what I'm saying is if there's a change in that belief or change in the science that there's a different opinion or a different conclusion, that we would have flexibility to back off our requirement. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, I thought we voted basically to follow, for all intents and purposes, to follow the rules. Right. They're requiring masks, wear a mask. If they're not going to, then we don't.
Okay, all right, then we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, because... Okay.
Okay, that concludes my report.
Okay. Any questions for Dr. Hollister?
Yeah, Dr. Hollister, I did have one question, and maybe you'll address it in some ways in your town hall meeting tomorrow. But I was just looking for maybe, and maybe it's Dr. Larkin, clarification on how the quarantine rules have changed and how that impacts students. I've heard from a couple of parents, and I'm just trying to understand. I'm not questioning the school's interpretation, but I've heard from a couple of parents about the quarantines running consecutive instead of concurrent when there's contact tracing involved. So for an example, student A is a probable and student B is a contact of that probable. Parent is telling me that the school nurse has told them their quarantine doesn't begin until student A's ends, making it actually like a 20 plus day quarantine. I just want some clarification, and it could be a misinterpretation between the nurse and the parent, but I'm hoping that you have, or maybe Dr. Larkin has some.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. That doesn't sound, it's a rare example, but Nadine, do you want to comment?
It is a rare example, but that's a case that happens if there's a sibling scenario or if it's within the same household. If you're within the same household, your quarantine doesn't actually start till the other one's ended.
Okay.
And it does make it longer. And those are the guidance of Department of Health.
So it's only within the same household. So it does exist, Mr. Naranjo.
Is that just for school quarantine purposes?
No,
because the Department of Health guidelines don't say that in other places. I couldn't find. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
They don't talk about household quarantines being consecutive. They're still concurrent, but it's concurrent from the last symptom. So it's not full quarantine to full quarantine. It's quarantine to symptom to quarantine. So it's extended in some ways, but it's not a separate duration according to the Department of Health, my understanding at least.
Our understanding from Penn Medicine is it is concurrent, and or it had you have to wait till the quarantine of the original person ends, especially if they're positive, and then you start your quarantine.
We can.
Could you confirm that for us tomorrow?
Yeah, we can verify that. We can ask them. I mean, they're good. They'll get back to us. We can ask your specific question.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, I know we had some remote learning period there, but some of these kids now are going to be out of school for
3 weeks,
a month. I mean, it's right. Yeah, it's a long time. So,
fair enough. Fair question.
Thanks.
Yep. We'll report back either. We'll report back to you guys, but then report back publicly as well.
The only, again, going to the mask thing, if you don't mind, just to clarify too, because the only thing that I had remembered with PIAA specifically was that they were opposed to the mask wearing of athletes being wearing them while actively doing their stuff. If you can get me then specifically what you're reading, the one that I had seen, that's still where PIAA was, that it was not, that they were opposing it. So it kind of made it a little bit confusing with what you were saying regarding, hey, if PIAA is going to go and change their view. But from what I understand, their view is that they shouldn't be wearing it. And I will just, because I brought it up last week or 2 weeks ago, I will say that, you know, the running that I've been doing, I put a mask on to run myself. And I would challenge anyone, I mean, not necessarily anybody on this meeting right now, but any doctor or anybody to run a mile, like to run a mile with a mask on and tell me that it's unhealthy or unsafe. And I would tell them they're crazy. But I would love to see where that is, that PIAA and the LL League is going with Governor Wolf's specific guideline in that, because I think that there might be some confusion there. And I just want to make sure that we're at least knowing what we're saying yes or no to.
Okay, we'll track that down as well.
Send that out. All right, any other further questions or announcements?
The only other one, Dr. Hollister, that I was going to ask you was in the 2 weeks ago, again, when we discussed the attestation that needed to be signed, because the governor did what he loved to do there and gave us this information and forced us to do it. Do we know legally, and I'm not saying that, again, I'm not saying that this is what we would do, but knowing what potential things that this might have down the line, do we know what would happen if we did not sign that? What legally would then happen?
So our solicitor told us, gave very specific advice to sign the attestation. So I assume they had a legal reason for that. I think the real question is what else would happen? If you recall way back, it could have been towards the beginning of this, there was a school district, I won't name them, who was going to defy the governor. And after they had a very public statement about that, 3 days later, after several phone calls from several government bodies, they did a 180 degree about face. I think what would happen is they could cut off funding pretty quickly. And I'm certain that that the certification of the superintendent would be also penalized. So I think there's plenty of stick to support it, so to speak. The attestation, we've been able to pretty successfully meet those requirements, and I'm fairly certain that those requirements are pretty logical. They have some sound base in science and health, and the attestation sort of rules that are in place, I believe, are helping us keep the doors open, so to speak.
Absolutely. No, and I do agree. I mean, the biggest thing I would disagree is that when we talk about science and facts, last 2 weeks ago, I brought up two other specific incidents where science and facts are opposing the science and facts that we're following, right? So we are acknowledging that, not me as a doctor, not us, because I'm not the medical person, but I'm looking at other medical people for that information. And I do agree that we've done a phenomenal job. Your team has done an excellent job at this. I guess I more specific to say that these are not, specific laws that we need to follow. And if we chose to, like in this case, with what Brian had talked about before, if we chose to maybe deviate slightly from the in-house, family quarantine aspect of things, we could, if we chose to, but that would only be able to be done if we did not sign the attestation, because they're kind of forcing our hand by having us sign that. But if we didn't sign that, we could make small modifications that make sense and don't, to help families specifically, to rather than having longer things, as just an example.
Bob, Dr. Hollister, have you, I haven't seen anything, but have you heard of any districts that the governor has come down on for violating the rules?
No,
I mean, recently, not, in the last few weeks.
No, not in the recent weeks. But I did get a figure like 99%, 99.9% of the school districts in the Commonwealth did sign the attestation. So essentially all but one, I guess, did sign it somewhere. As I said, the attestation, the rules, after we work through the lunches, and it's not pretty. You saw the lunch setups we have for our secondary, because you've been in here, and they're not all perfect at the elementary schools. But that was the one sort of the weakest part of our entire system. And the attestation sort of held us accountable to figuring something out, which our administrative team did over the Thanksgiving holiday. So, the attestation, sort of the rules of the attestation are doable. And I think they make sense. There are some challenges with them, but I don't know that I don't have a strong desire to break away from any of the rules that exist there now.
So Dr. Hollister, what I hear you saying is, with that form, we were pretty much doing everything anyway, minus the lunches, which we had actually identified back in October as a pain point. It just kind of lit the fire to get it fixed, correct?
Yeah, well, yes, exactly. So we were willing, because of that, we were willing to accept lunch scenarios that we probably wouldn't have accepted outright, you know, to be honest with you, you know. But when push comes to shove and the choice is make some adjustments to lunch or close school, okay, we're gonna now lower the bar on what qualifies as good seating for lunch, and we just made that happen.
So I guess, sorry, Jonathan, go ahead.
So essentially we were in the process of making the lunch changes anyway. If we didn't sign the form, we would still be doing everything, right?
That is correct. We were actually having those conversations with Mr. Sanger, Dr. Sanger, about 2 weeks before, because we knew the secondary lunches were not good.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah. So hang on 1 second. I gotta plug in. You guys chat a bunch.
Yeah, I guess that was going to be my thing, is how, in that case, outside of the financial part of what the governor may or may not be able to do, again, legally, and whether or not the closing of school and how that would look like if we don't sign a piece of paper that says we're doing everything that we were told to do anyway, how they would close a school without legal grounds to do so.
If we were doing everything anyway.
If we were doing everything we needed to, why did we need to sign this? If we do not, I mean, if we just stayed open because there's no legal grounds that they would have, if we're doing everything that we were supposed to be doing anyway.
Well, question asked.
I think that, and Dr. Hollister, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the solicitors, when they sent out their guidance, their advisement on how they interpreted Governor Wolf's new mandates and the requests for the attestation form, I think they challenged in some ways whether or not he had the legal authority to do these things, but did not say, you know, they of course did not invest their dollars or time into pursuing it, saying that whether or not it's legal, he certainly at this point has the authority to close schools or enforce some of these things. Now, the like legal question is like, does he, you know, can he make you sign something that says you're going to do it, right? But he does have the authority regardless, unfortunately, or for, you know, whatever, you know, open to interpretation or opinion because of the pandemic law, state of emergency, et cetera, to close schools if he deemed it necessary.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mr. Ronho. That's exactly right. The question of the legal authority was, could he really force me to sign it? That's really the question that people couldn't answer. Right. But he has a lot of authority in a crisis. The General Assembly gave the governor that authority, I think, during Hurricane Agnes or shortly after.
A long time ago, something that should have been reviewed.
And again, some of this may be out of ignorance on my side of it, as far as he could choose to close a school, not all schools at one time.
We could close all schools at any time.
Right, all schools at any time. If we didn't sign it as one school or whatever one school out there, I don't care what it is, one school out there that didn't sign it, he could choose to close that one school.
That's my understanding, but I don't know as a practice if that's reasonable.
Correct.
Or acceptable.
Correct.
But that's my understanding.
Okay.
I'm not an attorney, so.
Yeah, and that's that's kind of what my question is with that attestation and the signing of it, is not so much that, hey, we're not doing those things that we're doing, outside of we as 9 elected positions of a board, knowing what's good for our community or trying to do what's best for our community and doing that which is best, which I think we have been doing, and kudos to the administration and Dr. Hollister's team, but that we do what is best for our community and not dictated by somebody that's not here to tell us what to do, which is what I believe the attestation is kind of doing in that roundabout way in weaseling itself into the system.
I mean, the real question, Mr. Conroy, I think is, like, do we strongly enough believe that we as a board want to make it a legal debate and spend our district's dollars pursuing a legal battle? That's the real question, right? Because, I mean, you're saying, Dr. Hollister's saying, and Mr. Dahl commented, and you commented, and President Wenzel's commented, we're doing these things anyways. I mean, we thought it was probably by and large for the good of our students to do these things. So is it worth spending our district's dollars to make it a legal debate, even if we were going to do them regardless? Yeah. I think that's probably the real question, right?
Well, that's exactly right.
Yep. All right, I'm good then. I appreciate the time to discuss that.
I just have a quick question for the board members that have kids in the school. Have you, are they giving you any feedback from the way the new setup is for lunch, how they thumbs up, thumbs down, or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I can comment. I have kids in the district, and they've said that the new setup is, you know, it not well adhered to.
I think
gotta be honest, kids are honest.
yeah so the thought process is there, right? I mean, and the setup exists, and I think some follow it better than others. You know, there's a lot of indication as to where kids should be, students should be during their lunch breaks. But I don't know that, I don't know that there's a lot of kids, like, you know, like, all right. So for, I think the current setup is Dr. Hollister or, you know, Dr. Larkin, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the current setup is like, you know, maybe two kids, or two or three kids per table, at staggered distances of approximately 6+ feet, right? And then the tables alternate sort of so that those people in the middle are the on the opposite sides. So you know, trying to maintain that distance. And there's like X's at the spots where kids are kind of supposed to be sitting. You know, basically what I've heard from a multitude of students, not just my own kids, is that like all of the right things are in place, but a small percentage of kids are actually seem to like pay attention to those X's. Now, you know, the aides and monitors, you know, review the guidelines with the kids, but I don't know if you know, there's three kids at table A and three kids at table B, if anyone's telling them they can't all, if they're, no one's getting tape measures out, let's say that. And
we do our best.
You're tiptoeing around that answer a little bit.
Yeah,
that's okay. Tiptoe through the minefield.
My kids are, I didn't look at the attendee list. My wife or kids are probably, you know, they're regular attendees. So I'm not trying to sell my kids out here.
No, that's okay. I did that frequently when I was, my kids were in school. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. And are there any further announcements or anything, any feedback people would like to bring forward tonight?
Just very quickly, my kids talk about it, and maybe it's just their class. They said that in their classes, the kids are following the rules. They don't like it, the eating, but so I'm sure it just depends from class to class. So again, my kids don't, of course, like doing it, but they said their classes are following it.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
President Wenzel, unrelated, yes. Unrelated. I just wanted to say that the Health Council continues to meet via Zoom. So it's been fun to at least see those kids interacting still and looking for ways to impact the student body, even though they can't gather face-to-face for those meetings. We've had to cancel some events, unfortunately, but a lot of cool ideas have come out of those meetings that they're hoping to implement in the coming year. So
that's great to hear. You know, you got to stay optimistic. We'll see, you know, with the possibility of a third vaccine being approved here in early January. I'm always an optimistic person. I'd say maybe, you know, by sometime in February, maybe we'll start to see these numbers start to fall out of it. So, like Dr. Hollister had said, definitely, you know, by, I believe you said like the end of March, beginning of April, we'll see significant inroads into this. So, you know, that's less than you're getting out there close to less than 100 days now after 365. So, you know, it's getting there. It's taking a little longer than we like, but it's getting there. All right, with that, do I have a motion to close the meeting?
Paul Irvin, so moved.
Do I have a second?
Brian Naranjo, second.
Do properly moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries, and the meeting is closed, and we'll see everybody next year.
Merry Christmas, all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry-